You're very welcome back. I was talking to Vivian, the producer of the programme, a little earlier on. We were talking about the days of James Gardner and the Rockford Files. You remember he used to live in a mobile home and how fascinated we were, but it was all kind of make-believe. Well, my next guest is going to disabuse me of that. Carl Sinclooney, you're very welcome to the programme. You're a private detective.
Thanks for having me on the show, Albert. Yes, indeed, private detective now for the last 4 years.
What's your own background, Carlson?
I studied law in the University of Limerick and conducted a master's in criminal justice and human rights law. So I specialised in surveillance and privacy. And during my master's, I was playing some GAA one day and I ended up just jogging along beside one of the best private investigators in the country. And at the end of the training session, I basically had a job.
working there. Mm. What attracted you to this? I mean, you know, usually when people are talking about that, they would tend to go off and join the police or, you know, why didn't that appeal to you?
Absolutely. Well, I approached the area of investigations from a human rights based approach and from an academic perspective. So I was writing about surveillance and privacy. But then when I got the opportunity to get real life experience as an investigator, investigating generally in the beginning insurance claims, I jumped at the opportunity and I developed a lot of skills and got to travel around Europe. And I really enjoyed it.
What are the characteristics that are needed, you know, to do your job? Because, you know, there has to be subterfuge, there has to be, you know, you have to have a lot of confidence and I'd say you'd be a good study of human nature as well, would you?
It's an excellent study of human nature. You get to be a witness of life going by. But in terms of completing a good investigation, you have to have a principled approach to it. And you have to be dedicated and understand the objective and have the resources to persist. And so conducting an investigation can be quite complicated from the first instance, because in many cases, you may not know where to start. So you have to locate individuals, locate destinations and start to build from the ground up in a very comprehensive way so that investigation.
Well, let's take it. I mean, you're obviously running this as a business. How did you go about setting yourself up in this business? How did you, you know, market yourself? How did you gain customers?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, through my work, I had developed contacts and a skill set and the resources to conduct my services. And then I, when I moved to Portlaoise, I contacted the enterprise board there. And I was able to obtain some office space. And then I built a website myself. With the internet today, it has a huge effect on my business and the type of facilities that are available on the internet. I was able to build a website and then develop promotional material and begin marketing. So in terms of setting up the business and marketing, I conducted that end of things in Portlaoise and did everything from using the internet site to cold calling to telephone calls.
Is there much demand for your type of business? Is it changing?
I think it's a dynamic market, because the state is less and less inclined to investigate matters, and so there is more and more of an opportunity for individuals to investigate matters, or more and more of an onus on individuals to have matters investigated in order to conduct their own due diligence. And so there is a large market investigating insurance claims, but also employment law.
Well, I suppose if I was to come at it from a different way, you know, what would typically be, you know, your brief, what would your typical day-to-day stuff be?
Well, the great thing about it is it changes.
Very.
So you can be involved in a family law matter. It can be a maintenance dispute, or it could be a debt resolution matter, and the locations change. You could be in Cork in the morning and Galway in the evening.
Give us a deeper sense of it. I mean, let's take, you know, a fictitious kind of job or whatever, but, you know, I've hired you because this guy owes me 10 grand. I have his name and a description. I know that he's been seen in Cork. Over to you. What do you do?
Yeah.
Would that?
I think that most investigations generally start online and on the public databases in internet profiling to try to locate the individual online, identify them, see what they look like, see if there's any clues as to their exact location. Generally, there are. And then you move to a situation where you're physically present. You attend an area, the most likely area that they're going to attend. And from there, it's somewhat like hunting.
Yeah.
It takes patience and then...
Well, it's not a 9-to-5 job, is it?
No. It's the starts in the morning can be phenomenally early. The early bird catches the worm.
Would companies hire you more than
companies do hire me? Yeah, individuals hire me as well. Law firms, state agencies. I think there is a good market for investigative services. Notwithstanding the amount of resources it takes to conduct a good investigation.
Is there some sort of type of security clearance required? Or are you a member of a professional organisation? Yeah. Is it a regulated business?
Private investigators are currently not regulated, but we're due to be regulated now within the next 2 years by the Private Security Authority. Currently, we are required to be registered with the Data Protection Commissioner, and I'm a member of the Security Institute of Ireland. And so they're the types of, I suppose, the factors that are influencing.
Is it dangerous? Have you been in hairy situations?
I haven't been, no, because I think the key is to come do your investigation and go before without anyone ever knowing that you were there. However, I think if an investigation is carried out incorrectly, one could land yourself in.
Okay. How much does it cost?
Investigations cost anything from between 30 to 60 euros an hour, depending on the type of investigation.
Well, that's how long is a piece of string? What would the typical...
Yeah, give
a sense. If people are listening to saying, right, you know, I could be listening now and think, okay, there's an individual I need to track down who owes me money, or God forbid, I think the wife is having it away, I need to find out that, or, you know, give us a ballpark for...
Yeah, I think that most investigations, for example, an insurance investigation can be carried out in 20 to 30 hours, and those would usually be charged at around 50 euros an hour. Family law matters.
So 1,500, 3 grand average.
Yeah.
Plus vodka and tonic. Including vodka and tonic.
I'll throw it in for you.
Are the types of cases that you wouldn't touch? Have you been asked to handle particular cases and you go, no, that's not my cup of tea?
I haven't been asked to handle anything that was either unethical or illegal. And when I approach a case, I approach it from a very objective and impartial point of view. Both sides in the case have a right to put forward the best case possible or to defend any action against them. And so once you bear the individual's privacy rights and property rights and so forth in mind, I think you can carry out an investigation.
But surely as part of your job, you may end up in situations where you would have to eavesdrop or, you know, take paparazzi-type photographs from a distance and so forth. Is, like, what are the rules pertaining to those? Like, would, you know, God forbid, wiretapping or something? Or, you know.
Yeah, well, wiretapping is not part of my business at all.
Anyway. It's illegal.
Illegal, yeah. Absolutely. I think that's somebody else's bag, so to speak. But just in terms of
covert surveillance,
yeah. I mean, it's commonplace in my work, and it can be conducted very easily. Once you know how, from a distance, I have great equipment, so you can get clear high definition video from a long distance away without anyone ever knowing that you're present.
And what about audio?
Audio. I think it's not a part of my mainstay anyway in terms of recording people's conversation.
Well, businesses hire you for argument's sake now if they suspected that there was some pilfering going on in their business.
Yes.
That you would kind of be a secret shopper or, you know, somebody who'd watch that business. You may go in as an employee, by the way, but to keep an overall brief and so forth.
Yeah, that's certainly an option. And a lot of businesses have concerns around employee fraud or counterfeiting of products. And certain product manufacturers want to make sure that their products are being sold in the right way. And so they often hire private investigators to conduct due diligence.
Are you a sole trader?
I am.
How many cases then would you be able to realistically handle at a time?
I currently have 20 cases on my books.
Sounds a lot.
It is a lot, yeah.
How do you divide up the time? And particularly like if something happens and it starts a sequence of events that may drag you off with your whole focus there for a day or two.
Yeah, I do collaborate with other investigators who are experts in certain areas.
So you farm out and get help in when you as needed?
I'm not sure if I'd put it as farming out, but I definitely collaborate with experts, you know, okay, to deliver really good results for my clients.
Of your industry, it seems relatively new, and it is a modern society and so forth. Is there many private investigators out there trading?
There are. I had never really looked at it until I started working as a private investigator, and then I started to Google Private Investigators Ireland, and I saw reams and reams of pages of people trading as private investigators in Ireland. For my part, I've worked with some great investigators who have been in the business for the last 15, 20 years, and they did come from police and army backgrounds. And I learned a lot from them, but okay. The market has changed. And
I have two final questions for you, Carlson. One, why Portlaoise?
I have family in Portlaoise and a history there in terms of family connections, and it's really central.
Yes.
In terms of you can get everywhere, you can get up to Dublin.
And finally, Carlson, do you have a website?
Yeah, my website's www.cloneylegalservices.com.
CLONEY.com.
Yeah.
CloneyLegalServices.com. Carlson, thank you so much for coming in and sharing that. It's fascinating. And as I said, I suppose it's typical now with Mr. Rockford no longer around that I never realised that there were so many people out there carrying out this, although I can probably understand why, particularly in modern society. May we wish you all the best. The website again, just before you go, is
www.CloneyLegalServices.com.
Carlson Clooney, thank you so much for coming in, and we wish you all the best.